Galatians chapter 4, finishing up one section this morning. So we could have titled this several different things, but how can our local church, how can Beaver Baptist Church continue to grow, or how can we continue to be unified? And God's kind of using those terms interchangeably, that growth and that unity. If we're unified, we will grow. If we are growing, we will remain unified. So God is wrapping all of those things together. And we'll use a little bit of verse 15 to kind of get the context, but we'll be in verse 16 this morning, ending a section of scripture. Lord willing, we'll start up with verse 17 next week. Let us pray again, and this time let us do a prayer of confession, making sure that all of our hearts are ready to hear the word of God. Dear Father, our Savior, and our Holy Spirit, our Comforter, because you are so holy, we are reminded of our sins very often. We know that you love us, and that when we confess and see our sin as you do, that you will forgive us of our sins. So grant us humility this morning. Grant us an empty heart, empty of self anyway, and minds and hearts that can understand your words, that can apply it by your grace, and that will change us and help us to be more like you, which of course is our desire this morning. So help us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. So the following, what I'm going to say, is really a summary of chapter 4. So verses 1 through 16, and if you're visiting with us, I think this will be helpful as well. But we are called to preserve the unity, but this unity is something that Jesus Christ has already given us. So we've been given a gift. It is ours. But then God says, verse 3, you need to maintain it. It's like our parents, okay, you're given this car, but you have to fill it with gas. You have to maintain this car. If something happens, you know, it's up to you, but it's a gift to us. We have this unity. And what's neat is that we find out in verse 11, verse 7, we all have gifts that if we use them properly, it'll help us maintain this unity and we will continue to grow. Now let's remember our motivation. And if you're struggling with motivation this morning, why should I get out of bed? Why should I do what God has called me to do? I'm just struggling with enjoying the Lord as I ought to. Go read chapter 1 again of Ephesians and be reminded of all the benefits we have in Christ. And not a one of them has been earned by us. They're given to us. These great gifts. So let's say this. We're doing all of this, all of chapter 4 from 1 to 16, because of what he's already done for us. We love him because he's loved us so much. We work hard to maintain this unity in this local body because he's already blessed us with it through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of his own Son. So each believer this morning, if you've chosen to be a part of this local church, you've chosen, okay, I'm gonna be here as faithfully as I can. You've been given a gift. And don't say to yourself, well, I'm insignificant and my gift doesn't matter. And no. Every single part of the body, as we're gonna read in 1 Corinthians 12 this morning, is as important as the next part of the body. And we need each other so desperately. So each of us have been given a gift so that we may practice ministry to each other, so that we may love God as we love each other. So yes, there's individual growth, but the corporate growth is more important. And I would say if you're having true individual growth, then we will be growing as well. If you think, well, I'm growing all by myself just fine, I don't think that's true growth, because you can't separate your personal growth with the growth that we see in the local body, because that's where God wants you to be growing, so that others can be helped. An isolated Christian cannot minister, they cannot grow as God would have them to. Now we're going to see this clearly once again, it's repeated all through chapter 4 in verse 16. So starting with the last part of verse 15, this is what God has to say to us. We are to grow up in every way. We are to mature in every way into him who is the head, into Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, referring to a local church body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part, notice that word when each part, when each of us is working properly, that is what makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Notice the connection between your working your gift properly according to God's measure and how that helps the rest of us grow in our edification. Notice, what is the source of our growth? The end of verse 15. Well, also, what is the goal of our growth? Same thing. Who's causing us to grow? Jesus Christ. What's the goal of this growth? To become like Jesus Christ. It's all wrapped up together. So our goal is to become like Him. So as He saves us, it's really His power that is pushing us, doing it in His way through the local church. But He's also the goal. So the source and the goal. We can't forget that, because we're supposed to do everything for His glory, for the joy of the Master. And notice with me this phrase, in love, here in verse 16. Cursed three times in the chapter, verse 2, verse 15, and verse 16. What is the main way that we maintain our unity? Simply by loving each other. Whatever manifestation that love takes place, whatever it is, we are to love. And I would say, if you were to ask me, well, how do I love you? Give me something specific. What is your gift? Just come to the local church, give your gift, and you're loving each other. So important that we add that love in there. And then notice this word properly here. It's a very interesting word. When each part is working properly, in the original, it's metron. That's where we get our word meter from, that the rest of the world, you know, incorrectly uses to measure things, right? We have it correct because we have the foot and the yard and so on and so forth. But that's the same word. It means to measure. So you think to yourself, well, how does that connect? Well, the measure, what we're supposed to be measuring ourselves against, is the perfect one, Jesus Christ. And if we're working properly, if we're measured according to Him and using all of our gifts, all of our energies to the measure that He would have us to, well, then we are then working properly. So it is a good translation here in the ESV, but it has more of a meaning. It's richer than just this properly. Our growth is measured according to Jesus and how we use our gifts for Jesus. And then the joint. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And when every joint that holds all of this together, it shows that union and growth in the body can only come when there's contact. It's just a very simple way of saying, just as the joints in our body bring everything together, what's the big deal if you have muscles and bones without that joint? The movement is almost impossible, although you can do it. But if we are not in contact with each other, well, then we're not going to grow as we ought to. We're not going to move forward if we're using that body illustration to its fullest. Our joints allow us to have motion and to move together. So as we, all of us, exercise our gifts towards each other, we're not just promoting individual growth, but corporate growth as well. So as we look at this verse, I think four things just pop out immediately. Well, we grow through Jesus Christ. And as we see that, we also see we grow through each other. What we call one of God's means of grace, the Word of God, prayer, and then the local church, that fellowship with each other. See, we'll be more specific. How do we serve each other? Well, we grow as we serve properly, using our gifts, and then we grow through our love towards each other. Now, we're taking for granted here that we love God. And as we love God, we love each other. But it's very specific. We're supposed to do all of this in love, towards each other, because we love each other. So how then do we know for sure that we are to grow through Jesus? Yeah, our efforts, it is essential that we work hard at this. But if you take God out of the equation, we're not going to grow at all. That's the bottom line. So just in chapter 4, We don't even have to go outside of the chapter to show our growth is dependent on the Savior. Of course, there are many passages we could go to, but just look at these three verses right here in the immediate context. Grace was given to each of us according to whose gift? According to Christ's gift. In verse 11, one that was quoted in Sunday school. And Jesus Christ, He gave the gifts of the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, the apostles, and the prophets. It comes from Him, and through Him we are growing His gifts. And then verse 15, we are to grow up or mature in every way into Him who is the head, who into Christ. So He's both the source and the goal, as we said. He is the source. He picks us up. He grows us. But He's also the goal as we keep our mind's eye on becoming like Jesus. You say, well, how do I know if I'm becoming more like Jesus Christ? Well, just take a morning and read through the book of John this week, or the book of Mark or Matthew or Luke, and say, how am I doing in comparison with who Jesus is? And we look at how He looked out at the crowds and He had compassion. Do we have compassion for the lost? How He looked at these disciples and He trained them, although they were filled with such stubbornness and foolishness. And we say to ourselves, who am I training? My kids, my family members, my wife, my husband, helping them grow, my fellow church members, my co-workers. Do I have that compassion on them as the lost? Or am I helping them grow as other Christians? So we can always look back to Him and say, where would You want me to grow up into You, the head, into Christ? And then just read through the Word of God, where God would say, this is what I'm conforming you unto right here. So dear people, let us never lose sight of our goal. It's God's glory. Every time we obey, we are making God look big. We are saying to the world, to ourselves, even to Satan and his wicked angels that hate us, we are saying, I choose God, not you. I choose God's way, not the way of the world. And that makes Him look as if He's more important. And we are showing and shining His glory. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then do what? Glorify God in heaven. We lift Him up. We glorify Him. This is our entire goal. This verse 15. God, help us to bring You glory and to bring You praise by how we interact with each other and choose You. And then the reminder, it's come up several times in each message throughout Ephesians, as we grow through each other. Notice the words with me. The word joined and then held together. They express the function of the body as an organism. We're not separate of each other. We are one body. And it's essential that we are working together. Why? Because we grow through each other. Once again, being a monk is not the wisest thing to do if all you're going to do is spend your time in a cave. Lone Ranger Christians are not what we see in the Word of God. Remember, Elijah was so depressed, remember? And he had just crushed, what was it, Ahab and Jezebel. And he did all these wonderful works there. I think Mount Nebo, I'm missing up something a little bit here. But then afterwards, what did he do? Did he say, boy, God, look what I did. He was so depressed. And God said to him, look, buddy, you're not the only one around. I still have how many that have not bowed the knee? 7,000 people. In a country, you know, the northern part, Israel there, a country filled with people that were sacrificing their own children to demons as babies. Very similar to our abortion. Giving away our children so that our life would be better. And God said to Elijah, look, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 people here that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And basically, you're depressed because you're focusing in on yourself. Go help these people. Get with these people. I've made you a prophet to speak also, not just to Ahab and Jezebel, but to the people of God. We are not to do this on our own. We work together. So why is this so important? Why do we see it repeated almost verse after verse after verse in 16 verses in chapter 4? Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you don't have your Bible with you, I will put it up here on the screen. We're going to be walking through three different slides with that passage of Scripture before us. Now what you're going to see here in 1 Corinthians 12, the context is very similar to Ephesians. This was what was wrong with the church in Ephesus. You had Jews and Gentiles and they hated each other. God had saved them both and said, you need to be a part of one body. Be unified. And in chapter 1, 2, and 3, he gives them all these reasons to be unified. Chapter 4, he says, now maintain that unity. Well, the Corinthian church made Ephesus look like heaven on earth, right? The wickedness that was going on in Corinth, it's very hard for me to preach through that book because the things you have to talk about, the things you have to bring up, you say, how could these people even be in the church? But then I'm reminded, I know my own heart. I know my own heart and how wicked it is. And God's going to say right in the middle of this passage here, I know how wicked you are, but you need to be unified. You be unified over me and my gospel and my word and the fact that I have saved you to come together, but you be unified. So that is the context, very similar to where we're at in Ephesians. This is God's word to us. For the body does not consist of just one member, but of many. If the foot should say, hey, you know what? Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Well, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? In other words, we are all important. All of our gifts are essential to our growth because Christ made us this way. Notice what it starts saying right here in verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. So He just doesn't choose us for salvation, but He chooses us and places us in the body right where we're needed. Verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Again, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. God continues with this encouragement to unity in verse 22. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are really indispensable. We need each other. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. And then notice verse 25, just what it says in Ephesians 4, just in a little different way. So that there may be no division in the body. We need to take this to heart, people. We need to see that all throughout the Word of God, and as God talks to His New Testament people, He says, be unified. You are together. Don't say to each other, look, we don't need you. All these different things. There must be no division in the body. And God has shown us how to make peace. We spent all summer walking through passages of Scripture saying, this is how we make peace. If you know of anyone who has something against you, go to them. If you see someone in sin, go to them. Forgive. Make peace. Why? We're all one body. We can't say, well, I just don't need you. I can do this on my own. I don't like you anyway. Or you've hurt me. We are one body. Unity. Unified. For that is how God has chosen to make it work. Continuing on. But that the members may have the same care for one another. Verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And I am proud to be a part of a body. That verse 26, this really could be your theme verse. When one of us suffers, we come together and we suffer with you. When someone is rejoicing, a kid or a new job or whatever it is, and we rejoice together. What? We're one body. It's like I receive this suffering or you receive this blessing and we do it together. So an encouragement and exhortation, keep it up because you do that well. So let's just bring it down to our level. Where a local church has close relationships of genuine spiritual ministry, God works. God works. When we are this close, loving one another with our gifts, recognizing that all of us are important and that we're doing this together and that no one is less than the other, no one is greater than the other. We are together. God works. He blesses when we do church the way He has called us to do church. But people, where there's no intimacy and the unity is broken apart, remember last week that transparency? The better way to translate speak the truth in love is really live in a loving way. It encompasses everything we do, not just our words. You can translate it truthing in love. It's an entire atmosphere here in the church where we say, I love you. I love you. And when we have that, we grow. When we don't, when there's disunity, God doesn't work. He's not looking for creativity. He's not looking for ingenuity. Who can do church the next newest way to so-called bring in the lost? He's not even looking for cleverness. He's looking for us to be willing to obey the Word of God and to do church the way He has told us to do church. And then God blesses that. God blesses that. That's what we know. Do church the way I've told you to do church. Don't be clever with it. Don't be ingenious. Don't do anything new. Just do church. And I bless that. And I think God has. Here's a warning from Colossians chapter 2. And you don't have to turn there, but you can write it down. Colossians 2 verse 19 warns us against not holding fast to Jesus Christ, from whom the entire body, very similar language to Ephesians 4 here, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and the ligaments, we are joined together. It grows with a growth from God. In other words, stay close to Jesus and stay close to each other. We do not live life with a stiff arm in the local church. We do life arms open wide. We need that spiritual hug. We need that transparency. We need each other. That's how God wants us to do church. Now, I haven't been using the commentary by John MacArthur much. He's written a commentary on every book in the New Testament. Usually they're very helpful. I haven't used it much, but I came across what I think is something from his commentary. I think it was just spot on. He says, in other words, a local church is to be unified and close, holding tightly to fellowship with Christ the head, and not being led astray by that which is false and destructive. Remember in Acts 20, when Paul says, Ephesian elders, Ephesian pastors, come here, talking to the same church of the book that we are teaching out of, and he says, wolves are coming. And they're coming from the midst, and they have one goal, to tear you apart, to take the unity that you have in the gospel, around the word of God, and to tear that up. And Colossians 2 says, beware, hold fast to Jesus, to His word, to each other, and we protect each other. As we learned, I believe, in verse 14 last week. Now, what does it mean that each part is to work properly? We saw that it could be translated in several different ways. It really means as the whole body functions together and its individual parts contribute, God graciously blesses it with growth. And we see that properly. It turns into measure. As we measure ourselves to God and use our gifts according to the measure that God would have us to, well, then we grow properly. That's what the working properly refers to at this point. So trying to get even more clarity here. Each believer has been given a gift according to God's measure. We saw that in verse 7. God says, okay, I've created you, I made you, I saved you. Here is the measure of the gift I give you. He doesn't ask you for anything less. He doesn't ask you for anything more. Use the gift you've been given to the measure that I've called you to use it, which is that working properly. And we must then use that gift to the measure given. Nothing more and nothing less. Simply, that's what it is. It emphasizes our responsibility as an individual to do our part so that the corporate body will grow. So we must not depend simply on others for our growth. They're doing it. Why do I need to do anything? Well, you know, aren't you paid? Or don't you have a title? You do it. Each of us uses our gift as God has called us to do. That's it. But then on the other end, another side of the coin, we don't do it all either. Say, well, okay, I've been given this gift, so I'm the only one that's going to do this. God says, no, do it to your measure. Not too much, not too little, nothing more, nothing less. Do what God has called you to do. I think a good illustration of this, liver cells. If your liver is working properly, according to the measure that God has made it, well, then you're going to be fine. But if all of a sudden your liver starts to create these cells in an abundance, more than what God has created it to do, your body's going to be damaged. It's going to be damaged. But then if your liver stops serving your body, stops creating enough cells to help you, well, that's going to damage your body as well. We are the body of Christ. And if you are not fulfilling your gift, then we all hurt. Or if you're doing too much where someone else can't come in, well, then that hurts the body as well. Really, God in His wisdom, of course, chooses the best illustration, a body, to help us understand how we work together. So the body of Christ will suffer dire consequences if you, if I, if we are not working properly, since other body parts cannot replace your function. We need each other. Next, we see that we grow through our love towards each other. God does not say, and then just stop saying, the final goal of the growth of the body is to build itself up. That's one of God's goals. But how do we build ourselves up? Two very specific words here, in love. We help each other mature as we love and serve God and each other in this type of love. So as we use our gift, do it with an attitude of love. That's a prerequisite for body growth. What does 1 Corinthians 13 say? Right after the teaching about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, which we just read. That entire chapter on love has to do not necessarily with marriage, although it's great to apply to marriage, but it's talking to using to a local church, using our gifts towards each other, saying, you're not greater than one, you're not greater than another, we need to serve each other in love. And it starts out by saying, if I could speak with the tongues of angels, and yet I don't have love, what's the point? If I can move mountains with such a great prayer life, and I don't have love, what's the point? And if God has called us to use our gifts, and we're serving, and yet we don't love each other, stop, right? Stop. And God says, do it my way. What a conviction, huh? Very convicting. Just as a child psychologist would tell you, look, kids grow best in an atmosphere of love. You're like, duh, we all know that. They grow best in an atmosphere of unconditional love. God-like, God the Father type of love. We grow in the same way. We need this. We need this love towards each other, with each other, towards, because of God. Now think about the context with me again. Jews and Gentiles hated each other. Hate is not an overstatement. If the word hate is used in the Bible, we're just going to use it. They had this genuine hate for one another. Jews would say, look, you're not a part of this. You're not part of this chosen people ministries that we're going to do here in Ephesus. No. And the Gentiles would look down on them saying, look, you know, God has maybe forgotten about you. We're the next in line here. And God says to this local church in Ephesus, cut it out. Cut it out. Replace the in hate with in love. And love always does what is best for someone else above our desires. So we take their desires, their wants, their needs, and we choose them if it's beneficial for them. And that's what edification is. That's what true love is. So a summary then. Verses 1 through 16. Walking in unity is what you can call verses 1 through 16. In my Bible, it's titled Unity in the Body of Christ. Unity, unity, unity. Staying together over God, over Christ, over the fact that we are all sinners and He saved us. All the blessings from chapter 1, we are unified. So verses 1 through 6 give the basis of our unity. God is one. Our gospel is one. One baptism, one church. Because of that, remain unified. It's the basis. God is one. We ought to be one with each other. He saved us and made us a part of His body. And then verse 7 through 16 teach us that we are each given gifts to help us keep our unity. Now, once again, going back to 1 Corinthians 11, as we read through, as Pastor Jeff reads through the passage, God says, evaluate yourselves. If you do not have unity in your heart, if you know that someone has something against you, or you have someone something against someone else, specifically in your local church body, what does God tell us to do in 1 Corinthians 11? Unity is so important to God, He says, don't take communion. Don't take part in the remembrance of my blood and my body if there's disunity. Just don't do it. All of us have passed on it, right? If we've been a Christian for any amount of time. If you're anything like me, I just can't do this. I genuinely don't like that person right now. He's struggling. Well, this unity is so important that as we transition into communion, and remember, one of the root words there is the commune, the togetherness, the unity that's there. Union with Jesus Christ and with each other. By God's grace, the church enables itself. God has given us enough gifts that we may love each other and see each other grow as we do church God's way, as we work properly. God has done the work. Now it is our job to maintain it. Once again, that car illustration. Someone buys you a car, says it's yours. I've paid for it. But now it's your job to take care of it. Similar. Take care of the car that God has blessed us with. Maintain it to the best of our ability with the gifts that we have. So two slides of application, and we'll transition into the Lord's Supper. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we encourage you. You know, in our church covenant, we say that if you are a Christian and you have been baptized, receive believer's baptism, we encourage anyone. You don't have to be a part of our local church. You don't have to be a member. You can take part in the Lord's Supper with us. These verses 1 through 16, make it very clear that the ministry of the church is not the obligation of a few. A few are called shepherds and pastors. But it's not the obligation of a few. Their job is to equip, but rather the responsibility of us all. I need you, brother and sister. Need is maybe a word that doesn't have enough force behind it. My spiritual life is dependent on you and your gifts serving me. Dependent. I don't grow without you. And you won't grow without me. Isn't that something? If your kidneys shut down, you're going to shut down. So important that part of your body is to you. And we all have a function, and we need each other. So let's end the same way we've been ending for the last month. How am I serving the Lord? How are you serving the Lord? As this passage says, are you working properly according to God's measure? He doesn't ask you to be something you're not. He asks you to be who He made you to be. Your gift, what you offer the body. What are your gifts? And are you using them for our edification, for the building up in love, as we just learned? If you are not, something needs to change. Something needs to change in my heart if I'm not. And as we've been saying, being faithful to church is vital to this growth process. Because the vast majority of this interaction with each other, it's Sunday mornings. That's why we plan it this way. I think that's how God has always planned it. Since they first called it the Lord's Day. So we would get together, they would join together, and love each other in this way. So are we fostering the unity that Jesus Christ has won for us? How do we foster it? Be here and love each other the way God has loved us. It sounds simple, but it's hard, isn't it? Because I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. But this is what God is calling us to do. We are the body that we call Beaver Baptist. We are that body. And we need each other. May God continue to bless us as we build each other up in love. Let's close this morning. And for the visitors, what we do at this time, let's bow our heads. Close your eyes, please. So we're not looking around. We'd like for all of us to do heart work. If God has spoken to you through the passage, just talk back. Ask Him for help to grow and for wisdom for how we can all change together. Let's pray. Let us pray. Father, thank you for kindly placing my family in this local body. Thank you for the love that you have shown us through them and that we are able to show right back. It is just your mercies that you have blessed us with a church that loves each other and that rejoices when others of us rejoice and that suffers when we suffer. May we continue to grow. We love each other and that's a gift from you. And may that love just grow deeper as we know you better and as we're more equipped. May we just love and love and love until people come in here and say, this is just weird because we love each other so deeply. And that's the same love that you have shown us. Unconditional, passionate love, sacrificial. Continue to bless us with that, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Jeff.